The background of the reading this morning is that the tax gatherers or the tax collectors were people that were very much hated by the population. Why? Because they gathered people's money to give to the foreign authorities who governed them. They also did not like the toll collectors, people who charged their money to use their own roads. And in those days, these people were excluded from the religious community of Israel, and also sinners, as we found the word in this reading. In the Old Testament, according to the book of Proverbs, which is a wisdom book, we read about the dangers of spending time with sinners. But unlike in any other context in the Bible, in Jesus' context, it's the sinners does not have a bad influence on Jesus. It's actually the other way around. Jesus is influencing the sinners. In those days, it was the custom to discuss matters of God and the law while you were having a meal. Although the Pharisees and the scribes, which were the religious leaders, would not seek the company of the despised of their society. They would not eat with the marginalized, prostitutes, tax gatherers, toll collectors, sinners. They would not even eat with people who handled the skin of dead animals, because these people were regarded as unclean. And if you touched those persons, you were unclean as well, which meant that you could not go to the temple. You could not enter into the presence of God unless you cleansed yourself first. And eating was much more than we know it today. It was a social event, and it could last for hours. Do me a favor and go to Africa, or go to Spain or Greece, and you will see that is the culture. And according to this culture also, you were measured by the people that you were having a meal with. Your status depended on these people around you. So if you ate with sinners, if you ate with tax collectors, with unclean people, you were saying something. You were saying you are just as unclean as they are. But who is the sinners they are referring to? Who was regarded as the sinners? In the Old Testament, it was quite easy. The sinners, or the ungodly, was the opposite of the righteous. It was usually Jews who boasted of the law and their relationship with God, but breaking the commandments. Who was proud of their foolishness, oppressing others, people who ignored God. According to the Old Testament, it's more of the attitude. An attitude of excluding God in your life, for not obeying the law of God, ignoring the law, because they regarded the law as the will of God. So if you deliberately broke the law, you were saying you were not obeying God's will in your lives. While the righteous, on the other hand, were people who obeyed God, went to the temple, and followed the law. Jesus changed this completely. In Jesus' presence, it was all about the sinners. He says, I came for the sinners. I came to rescue them, because we are all sinners. And also, by his kindness, offered a new life to these people who were pushed to the margins. Jesus showed that if you have a relationship with God, you do not need to observe these legal traditions. Just faith. If you have faith, you can live in the presence of God. And he says time and time again, the righteous too need to be in a relationship with God. They also need to think of their own lives, and they must call and repent and come into a relationship with God. But these people were grumbling because Jesus mixed with the sinners on a very close level. But what does it mean? What does this parable mean? What was Jesus trying to tell them? I think he shocked these people by telling them this parable. Because in Jesus' day, shepherds were regarded in the same breath as people who collected money for the Roman Empire. Shepherds had a bad name. They were known as robbers and thieves because they did not care about other people's land. They allowed their sheep to graze. They crossed boundaries. They didn't respect other people's property. And in Jesus' day, this was quite a problem to the religious leaders. Because we know in the Old Testament, they depicted God as a shepherd. So these religious leaders had a bit of a situation. On the one hand, shepherds regarded as robbers and sinful. The same way, in the Old Testament, God is depicted as the good shepherd. So, what is Jesus saying to them? They must decide. What kind of shepherd is he talking about? Is he talking about the divine shepherd? Or is he talking about the outcast shepherd? But anyway, the shepherd leaves 99 sheep in the desert. The Greek word says eremos. This word says something of unprotection, unattended. This shepherd was actually a fool. No one in those days would dare to leave 99 sheep to go and look for one. In the Old Testament, again in Ezekiel, we find a similar situation. But there, the shepherd abandoned all the sheep. Not 99, all his sheep. In this parable, there's one lost. And he went off to find this. So Jesus is actually saying, this shepherd is the biggest fool to leave 99 just to go and look for one sheep. So, what is he saying? He's telling the religious leaders of his day, I know you think I am a fool. I know you think I ought not to mix with these bad people. I know what you think. I must exclude these people too. But each and every one matters to me and to God. And you who think you are righteous, you must also know you are in great need for God to find you as well. Amen.
The parable of the lost sheep is one of the best known stories that Jesus told. I grew up with the story in the church that I attended in Falkirk as a young child. There were two windows, and in one window there was a thorn bush with a sheep trapped in the bush, and Jesus was approaching the sheep. And in the window beside it, Jesus was walking along with the sheep over his shoulders, and Jesus was smiling as he joyfully walked home with the sheep that he had found. Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. There are many people in our world today ensnared in thorn bushes, trapped in lives gone wrong, feeling helpless and hopeless and lost. Jesus said, I have found my lost sheep. He didn't say it was a lost sheep or the lost sheep or any old lost sheep. He said it was my lost sheep. All those who have gone astray are lost children of God. They belong to him. In Matthew's version of this story, it says, "Your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." As Andrew said earlier, this story presented a huge challenge to those who were listening to Jesus. The religious leaders and the righteous people did not seek out sinners and the lost. On the contrary, they went out of their way to avoid them and would have nothing to do with them. They were unclean. The story is also a challenge for us today. Some time ago, God gave me a picture of the church through a sheep that I saw when I was out walking. Sometimes God speaks to us through things that we see in nature, whether it's an animal or a bird, and he speaks to us through that picture. Well, I was walking up a lane towards a hill beside Ratho and went past a field of sheep. And most of them were grazing quite happily, but one of them caught my eye and it was sitting in the sun looking like it was having a nice rest. Its eyes were closed and it was sitting upright against a grassy bank. When I returned from the walk almost 2 hours later, that sheep was still sitting in exactly the same position. It hadn't moved at all, and that seemed quite odd. So I went into the field and I went over to the sheep, and it still didn't move because it was stone dead. It must have settled down for a rest in the sun, and it had died. And because it was leaning against the grassy bank, it didn't keel over, and it was still sitting upright. I called my friend who's the farmer, and he collected it later that day. As I thought about that sheep, I believe that God gave me a picture of church. I saw rows of people sitting in pews, looking as if they were participating in worship, standing to sing and sitting down again, sometimes praying, giving every appearance of being a Christian congregation. But they were all dead, spiritually dead. They had heard the good news of the gospel message. Some had even given their lives to Jesus. They had accepted salvation, but they were not bearing any fruit at all. They were not seeking the lost to share this wonderful gift that Jesus had given to them. Just as that dead sheep was of no use to the farmer and he took it away and destroyed it, so the people in that church were no good to God at all. They were not working for his kingdom. They had no interest in seeking out lost sheep and picking them up and carrying them home. Now, I've been to many churches over the past 10 years or so, and I've not yet been in a church full of dead sheep, spiritually or otherwise. But this encounter with the sheep was 10 years ago, and that picture has stayed with me. I've never forgotten the picture of how the church could become barren and inward-looking and unwelcoming, and how Christians can become so focused on their own personal growth and development that they forget they're meant to be making a difference in the world out there. Romans 10 speaks very clearly about this. Jesus is seen as the Lord of all, of Jews and Gentiles. And at verse 13 we read, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching the good news to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that last line is from Isaiah. In other words, if we do not follow Jesus' example to reach out to the lost sheep, they will not hear the good news, and so they will not believe, and so they will not be saved. And it will be our fault. What a responsibility is that? I've been coming to Kirk Newton and East Calder Church for the past couple of months, and I've been very impressed by the number of people who have gifts in this congregation and up at Kirk Newton, and how many people are using these gifts to reach out. God is speaking directly to us with this parable. Many of us are within the 99 sheep. He has already sought us out. He has freed us from the chains that held us, and he has carried us home to his flock. And he's reminding us that there are still lost sheep out there. God is also speaking to the One. God who is awesome and eternal. God who created the universe and put the planets in their positions. Who works in the lives of kings and queens and rulers. God who watches over nations and governments. God cares for the one individual, the one man or woman or child who is lost. He says to that one, "You are my precious, precious child, and I love you." He sent for that one, his son, to die on the cross, so that she might be forgiven and live forever. He says to that one, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." And when that one comes, God says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." When God found you, each one of you, he rejoiced. There was great rejoicing in heaven, and the angels sang, and Jesus was glorified because you were found. If we run an Alpha course and 20 people attend, and one person gives their life to Jesus, then hallelujah. God will rejoice in that one life. The seeds are sown in the lives of the other 19 for a harvest later. We have to trust them to God's care and keeping. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed with the needs of those around us by the enormous task that faces the church in reaching out to the lost. But as individuals, we're called to go out there and to find the lost one person at a time. A friend, Bob, is about 30 years old. And as a young man, his life was completely off the rails. He was totally off track. And a Christian neighbor invited him over and over again to go to church, and he refused over and over again. Until finally he gave in and he went to church. Bob came face to face with Jesus in that church, and he gave his life to Christ. And within a few months, not years, but within a few months, God called Bob to ministry. And he was accepted for training, a new Christian called by God. What if that neighbor had not invited Bob to church? What if he hadn't persevered and kept asking him over and over again? The neighbor did not know that Bob was destined to be a minister. One life that was precious to God, and God says, "Rejoice with me." During his training, Bob lived in a flat in Midlothian with his wife and his baby, and in the flat below him lived a young woman, and he noticed that she was often unhappy and sad. She was a heroin addict. Bob began to speak to her, and he invited her in for coffee, and he invited her for meals in his home, and then he invited her to church. This young woman gave her life to Jesus in church, and I was present last year when she was baptized. One life that was precious to God, God says, "Rejoice with me." And just a couple of weeks ago, I attended Bob's ordination in Dundee. And singing and playing his guitar at the service was a young man, Steph McLeod. Some of you might have heard Steph singing at Holy Trinity or Bethany or Destiny Church. In 2006, Steph found himself in the Bethany Christian Centre, a 17-bed hostel for homeless men with addiction problems. Bob had been living rough in Edinburgh, begging on the streets, just to feed his alcoholism. Some of us might have walked past him then. Bethany specialises in finding lost sheep, and in Steph's own words, it was during that time that he found the saving grace that Jesus Christ offered him. Steph began writing Christian songs, and he produced a CD recently, Light in the Darkest of Nights, which is a series of songs tracing his journey from being lost to being found. One life that was precious to God, and God says, "Rejoice with me." The first verse of Steph's first song could be attributed to all lost sheep everywhere. He wrote, "Down and out, hope long gone, lost and forgotten in a life gone wrong. a slave to my past, when each day's like before, I'm blind in the darkness and dead to the core. When Jesus walked on this earth, he loved the lost. Jesus cared. Jesus touched. Jesus healed. Jesus wept. Jesus held. Jesus forgave. And Jesus saved. We are called to do all of these things. In fact, Jesus says in John 14, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Let us pray that God will lead us to the lost sheep, that God will show us where to seek, that God will give us the words to say, a heart full of compassion and a spirit of boldness. And if anyone here today feels like a lost sheep, then I pray that God is speaking to you even now through his Holy Spirit, words of love and forgiveness and acceptance and peace and joy. Amen.